I want to discuss tonight the controversial ruling of the Marik. Began to discuss this a little bit at the beginning of the week. The Marik is kind of a coda, a kind of fitting end to the discussion of Asagas Gvul. Marik has this ruling which is very somewhat strange, somewhat provocative, and the Poskim are kind of split on whether they accept it or not. I want to discuss the ins and outs of this a little bit and some of the cases in which the Marik is invoked. Lahalacha. So the Marik was talking about pretty much the classic cases of someone from outside the city trying to move inside the city, simple business competition, or something to do with the Cheskes Yishuv the Ramah talks about the rights that people have to just block immigration to the city. Whatever it is, broadly speaking, the Marik was talking about the classic idea that somebody wants to compete with an incumbent, the incumbent doesn't like that. So throughout our siman, throughout the sugya, we've learned there are some cases where he does have the right to object, some cases where he doesn't have the right to object. Marik comes along and says that all this discussion about the right to object, not having the right to object, it's a free country, people can go and do whatever they want, ani osa b'tok shali, ata osa b'tok shalcha, all that discussion is just about whether I, the incumbent, have the right in Beis Din, will Beis Din listen to me to enforce my will upon my would-be competitor. Sometimes Beis Din will help me, sometimes they won't help me. That's our whole siman, that's our whole sugya in the Gemara, that's our whole siman in Shulchan Aruch. However, the Marik says, if I don't want Beis Din, I don't need Beis Din. If I'm capable of blocking my competitor through my own resources, by my connections to the government, possibly by other types of allies I have, Chazon Ish actually claims that it's only the government for certain reasons. We'll maybe discuss that a little bit next week. But in general, the Marik just says, broadly speaking, if I can invoke the Tsar, the local governor, or Shemoneh Acher, any other form of power I can exert to block you from coming in, that's fine. Even in cases where Beis Din will not honor my request. But if I can get away with it, I can do whatever I want. Beis Yosef is not happy. In his Bedek HaBayis, he writes, Dvarim Tmuim Be'enai. I don't know how he could say such a thing, he says. Hey, Chiyufkar Zelis, Gabriel Avadeh, Sar, Shol, Pi Beis Din. Beis Yosef can't understand how someone could possibly issue such a ruling. And he points out that the Marik actually uses remarkably, incredibly strong language in support of his ruling. Marik has technical riots, which we're not going to get into, but the Marik over and over bangs you on the head. He says, anyone who doesn't rule like this is lav dainahu. I can't imagine anybody would disagree unless he's a toa and someone who's an ikesh and a psaltal, and anyone with a brain can see that this is clearly the din. Beis Yosef says, what am I going to do, he says. Afopi shehifriz harav al midosav, lahasris neged acholak al dvarav. The Marik went a little overboard to sharply lecture anyone who would think of disagreeing with him. Lo b'shvil zeh em nami lichtav anirli. I still have to write my opinion. Melech ha-shamayim hi ve'ein mas upon a medavar. That's my job, he said, just to express what I think. And I have to say that I don't understand this Marik. He doesn't bring any rias against Marik. He doesn't engage the Marik logically. He just says he thinks that this is a bizarre ruling and he doesn't really like it. Now, the truth is, it's hard to know when Marik wrote all this language about Deinu El Atoa, Ikesh Psalta, Lav Deinu. It's hard to know if Marik really thought his din was so obvious and so trivial, so many poskim said they thought it was Tamua, or he just knew there would be opposition, so he wrote this language to try to convince you to listen to him. But either way, Beis Yosef says that it is Tamua. He does not understand. He doesn't even raise any actual objections. He just says that it makes no sense to him. His halachic intuition, his sense of the what the halacha should be, he can't tolerate that.
What are the type of things Marik sanctions to use? Only like a legal framework?
So it's not very clear. He says like they have Sar, which was using the government, or Monea Acher. He doesn't explain what the Monea Acher might be. So the Chazon Ish points out that the Beis Yosef quotes the Marik as saying that he says when the Beis Yosef brings the language of the Marik, he says Aide Sar or Aide Shum Onish. We actually have Shum Onea. Sounds like in the Hizgirsh of the Beis Yosef, he had the word Onish, which he says Onish sounds like mafia, sounds like people who are going to beat you up. So the Chazon Ish says that's certainly not allowed. Beis Yosef is right. Lomi Bo, you can't actually beat somebody up if you have no halachic right. But even he says if you're just bluffing, even if you're not planning on going through with it, you just want to intimidate him, that's also Asur, he says. But the gears that we have, like Shemonea, he says Monea would also mean a legal framework. It would mean, for example, persuading local landlords not to rent property to anyone who's going to do things that are against my interest. But it all means through a legal rights-based framework. The government has the right to the citizenship and immigration, and the local landlords have the right to decide who they want to rent to. But it doesn't mean, but that's all it means, he says. Other acharonim, I'm not sure if everyone agrees to this or not, but that's the Marik. Beis Yosef doesn't like it. It's not actually clear if Beis Yosef disagrees. He doesn't actually go so far as to say, I pass and I like this. He just says, Dvarim Tmuim. And some acharonim quote Beis Yosef as saying that he disagrees. For example, the Pesach Tshuva, when he brings different acharonim, he uses the Lashon Cholek several times. He says, I am Beis Yosef Shecholek Alzeh. Brings other acharonim who say that Beis Yosef was Cholek. Not so clear. Others point out, Beis Yosef is not really Cholek. Just because he has questions doesn't mean, we often have questions on Rishonim, doesn't mean we reject what they say. The Karen Reim, Rabbi Falon Kava from North Africa, says that, okay, Beis Yosef said he was Tamua, but Tamua is Tamua, but Beis Yosef didn't say not like that on the Shulchan Aruch, he just left it out. And the Ramah does Paskin like it. It may very well be the Halacha. Similarly, we have a Tshuva in the Marashdam, basically a younger contemporary of the Beis Yosef, who said, brings the Marik and says, starts like the Beis Yosef, says it really seems like Dvarim Tamuim, but he says the very next breath, he says, Mi Yavo Acharei HaMelech Asher Kvar Asahu. Marik ruled this way, so we defer to him. So the Acharonim go back and forth. Beis Ketuva brings several opinions for or against the Marik. Many other Acharonim talk about it. So Ladina, it's probably something of a machlokas about whether we accept this position of the Marik or not. Now, just to put the Marik in some context, in Halacha there are two and perhaps three Isurim that would normally come to mind when you think of doing something like this. The first issue is Mesira. We know in general you're not supposed to turn Jewish person or property over to enemies, to non-Jews in general. That's one issue. The second issue is what we call our kos. A Jew is generally not supposed to litigate in secular court. Even if there's no danger to the other Jew, it's just a simple civil case that no one's going to be tortured or harmed or have his property stolen, but you're not allowed normally to litigate in secular court where based on is an option. A third issue is a ruling of a Mardechai elaborated upon by the Truma Sedeshin. The Truma Sedeshin was talking about a certain case. His actual case had to do with a chov after Shemitah, where Beis Din is not going to enforce collection of such a debt. But there is a Shita of Rashi, which is not necessarily accepted, but there is a Shita of Rashi that a person himself is allowed to try to extract a debt after Shemitah. Rashi says that if the Malva has the power, he can hold the Lova up against the tree until he says, all right, I'll pay you, I'll give you the debt, Matana, I'll give you a gift. But he can do that. So according to Rashi, which again is not necessarily the Halacha, but according to Rashi, does that mean I can go to court and I can get Goyim to help me collect my debt? Truma Sedeshin says, no, I am not allowed to do that. And the Truma Sedeshin's language is that even if it's Shari L'chofa B'zra V'gvuras Yad, even if I'm allowed to use my own personal strength to collect this debt, afilu hachi alidei nachrim asur lasuye. Going through Goyim is worse. He brings a Mardechai who says there's a halacha called Kol Dolm Gvar. In certain cases of Mamon Amutal B'Safek and money who based in Camp Paskin, we can't resolve a doubt. Sometimes we say Muksuk. In certain cases we say Kol Dolm Gvar. Whoever is stronger, whoever can get away with it, Basin just says Kol Dolm Gvar. All kinds of different shitas. In practice, we never actually rule this way. I've never seen a case in Beis Din or in any real world case where this is a halacha. It's a fairly limited ruling, but at least academically, there is such a halacha, which the Gemara and the Rishonim talk about at length, that in certain cases, sfeikos are resolved by saying kol dolm gvar. So the Mardechai says, kol dolm gvar means you personally can grapple and struggle and try to win, but you cannot involve goyim. You cannot ein liskav ayde nachrim klal mechur hadavar. It's repugnant. It's ugly to do such a thing. Lasui ayde nachrim to bring in gayim. And this Truma Sedeshin is brought by the Ramah and Siman Dal and Chashan Mishpat. So this is the third issue. Three issues. Masira.